This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The run in builds momentum with two games in 4 days this Friday as Ipswich Town travel to Ewood Park, a place where historically wins have been hard to come by, but might still be fun though. This is the Blue Monday podcast. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, discussing the town up or down since 2015. I'm Rich Woodward and welcome to the pre-match show in partnership with the best pub in Ipswich, the Greyhound. We're available live every Thursday at 8 p.m. on YouTube and available on podcast shortly afterwards. We're giving you all the insight. It's not Thursday though, is it, Seb? I've just screwed that up, haven't I? I've moved back into the host chair and I've definitely bodged the pre-intro, and I've bodged this because it's Wednesday. I'm totally thrown off. We're usually available every Thursday, but it's Wednesday because we're playing on Friday. But we're going to give you all the insight on Town's weekend game. It's not even a weekend, it's Friday. Seb, help me out. Help me out.
We will give you the oxygen that you need to get through the Good Friday and the Easter program. It's much nicer being sat this way around. I much prefer being on this side of the screen where I can just talk aimlessly about facts an hour or so.
Lost it.
You're a bit out of practice there, aren't you, to be fair?
Yeah, really rusty, even though I hosted the flagship on Sunday. What are you going to do? Seb's here. How are you, Seb?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm good. Looking forward to going again. I think I said on the ITSC Women's pre-match show that I didn't mind the international break as a chance to reflect and look at things, but I'm so bored now. I really want football to come back. It's absolute crap. I want football to come back. We've got, what is it, 5 games in 15 days, 2 games in 4 days, the Norwich game's in there. It's the proper business end of the season. Here we go, folks. Here we go.
Business. Let's say hello to the live chat. We are live. We want to hear from you. We are obviously here to talk about Blackburn on Friday. So very keen to get your insights on Ipswich or Blackburn. Anything else you want to reflect on as well? But let's see who we've got. Nick, straight off the bat. If Leeds or Leicester do a double slip up, that would be fantastic. Yeah, let's manifest that, Nick. That's what we want. David is here. 5,000 away supporters whilst on TV is incredible. Come on, you Blues. It's all about those points. Are you early doors, Seb? Do you want to announce whether you're making the trip to Ewood Park? Are you going to be there?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I'm going. Anyone that's got an inflatable near me, I will be carrying safety pins.
Lovely.
Have you got the Room 101 music queued up for me?
We can come back to that if you want.
Miserable sod. No? Okay.
Right. Yeah, it'll give us your views if you like Seb and hate the inflatables or not. Charlie's already got an early prediction. We'll come back to that later. Lee is with us. Rob, everyone thinking this, Rob. Definitely a really great point to make. We could really have done without more playing 120 minutes last night. Hope he makes back. But Seb, obviously you're in mourning after Poland's penalty shootout win.
I can't wait for the Coventry game in a few weeks' time. I'm going to get my own back.
It's a Tuesday night, so we won't be doing a proper pre-match for it. So that's a shame for you. But joking aside, it would have been really good to go into the running with Kiefer Moore and Nathan Broadhead buzzing after a qualifying for the Euros, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a real shame for them, obviously, and Wes Burns might well have been fit for it. We'll discuss him in a minute, but it is what it is. I don't understand why they now have to play two qualifiers. In the old days, you played a playoff. If you won it, you got to the finals, didn't you? They had to play, was it Estonia or Finland last week, in order to set up the qualifier against Poland last night. I watched it from about 20 minutes in, the whole thing. I wasn't overly impressed with either side, to be honest with you. I don't think they'll be greatly missed at the Euros, but it is a shame because, you know, you do want the home nations to be there, and it's always nice watching town players compete at international level. Also, it was so long. We had Bart and Knudsen in 2018. Before that, I can't even remember. So it would have been, Tommy Smith, 2010, Italy. Was that?
Yeah,
2010, I think. So it would have been nice to have a vested interest as town fans. But in the words of Paul Lambert, that's football.
Leif Davis has got an outside shot, surely. Let's move it on. Michael, the weather report from Brisbane, damp Brisbane, everyone. Tim, continuing with the weather theme, looking forward to our trip to the frozen north. It might be mild. Probably raining, though, isn't it? As it tends to do. Ben, another of the Australian brigade contingent, whatever you want to call them, watched Cameron Birch. I think he had a selfie with Cameron Birch, didn't he? Which he shared with the Telegram group, even to Paul and to Nick. Matt, did anyone else have a sleepless night after Kiefer had to put in a 120-minute shift last night? He did stop running in extra time, though, which I thought was quite useful. It's grey and gloomy in Brooklyn, says Horse Hollerer. Cold in CO7, says Rando Mark. Helsinki represented by David. Streaky's here as well. Tiptree Jam Shop, Eric Clapton here. Norman, international breaks seem so long. As you mentioned, Seb, and also there's like NAFL, like I just might watch a random Premier League or EFL game on the telly on a Tuesday or a Monday night. There's nothing like that either. Stephen, evening Wednesday nights. Jacob is here, possibly to keep an eye on the predictions, and Richard as well. 14 degrees Celsius in Chicago. What's the wind direction, Richard? It's not a complete weather report unless we know all of that. But great to have everyone here. And Zorak here. Seb, let's talk about this, shall we? Hursty, well, you can say it. It's your phrase, isn't it?
I don't think it's my phrase. I don't think I own the copyrights to the term back on the grass. But great news. Yeah, I guess he'll now build up strength and kind of say strength and conditioning and build up strength in that hamstring. And I guess he'll get a bit of ball work in. And just to be, I guess, psychologically, it must be a huge boost to go through your rehab. You're on your own quite a lot, swimming and in the gym and with the physios on your own. But then suddenly to get back on the pitch with the guys kicking the ball around must be a huge boost to his confidence. So hopefully he'll continue to progress well, and he might well be needed come that three-game week at the end of April where we've got, was it Holloway, Coventry away, and then Huddersfield at home. Hopefully he can get himself in a position where, if need be, he can contribute in those three huge games.
Yep. Jonathan here. I'm bringing inflatables, and I don't care if you enjoy them or enjoy popping them. I'll have made you enjoy them. I'm not sure that means. Is that a threat, Jonathan? I'm going to make you enjoy them. You know, everyone do what you want to do. It's about the collective experience, isn't it? If you impose fun on other people,
It's too big a game. Are we going to discuss inflatables? Am I going too early?
Let's do the music. Let's do this properly. I've also got other music for later on as well, by the way, which I haven't told you about. But let's do this properly, shall we? I love that the weather reports are still coming in on the chat. Love that this is the unofficial weather podcast. Go on, Seb, vent about inflatables. At least
when we were a joke and when we were a bit of a laughing stock, it was kind of something to look forward to because it was a bit trivial and it was a bit fun. And when we were playing to finish 11th or 15th or something, I guess it maybe made the day a little bit more exciting. But it's far too big a game. Don't dick around with inflatables at a crucial time of the season. You know, I know we did it at MK Dons at the start of the run in February 2023, whenever it was, but yeah, no, it's not for me. I don't like it generally. I'm quite miserable, so that's probably why. But for me, it's too much of an important game. It's not going to be an easy game. And yeah, no, just don't do it, folks. Please don't do it. Just don't do it.
Well, people are, and I guess I'm slightly more, I won't be there. I'll be watching along with Ben and doing a live stream. So do join us for that if you're not part of the 5,000. I just think as long as you're not ruining someone else's experience by chucking some inflatables around, then I'm not really fussed, but I get what you mean about for the games that matter, maybe it's one for those, but yeah, let's not be overly critical of people having fun. It's been a miserable enough experience watching Ipswich Town the last few years. The last time that you and I, we partook in inflatable. Seb, do you want to tell everyone when?
We didn't take any. We were there at MK Dons where the big phallic symbol was being thrown around the place at MK Dons.
We saw one.
We didn't take them. We had a dinosaur thrown. Did you take a dinosaur?
I took two.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm reviewing the friendship. I've clearly blocked that from my memory. Nottingham Forest away 2017, the last day of the 2016-17 season when Forest won to stay up and ended up doing a pitch invasion. There were dinosaurs being thrown around in reference to Mick's footballing style, but I genuinely don't remember you taking one. Clearly, I took two, one for me.
Right. And one for you. And
there's no way I would have blown that up.
In fact,
100% not.
I'm going to find photos. This is going to be so much fun. If I didn't have to host this podcast.
If you can find it, you can put it on the I've lost the predictions t-shirt because it simply didn't happen.
Right. Okay, folks, stay tuned. This is going to be exciting. Before we start talking about actual news, we have kind of drifted into it a little bit. We need to say hello to Jack, watching rather randomly live from a hospital in Tarragona, Spain, after having hip surgery last week. Really enjoying listening to the podcast over the past week while here. Keep up the great work and come on, you Blues. Well, get better soon, Jack. And hopefully, I assume you'll have robot hips and you'll have all kinds of fun going through airport metal detectors for the rest of your life. But good luck with all of the recovery and rehab and all of that kind of fun stuff. And we wish you all the best there. But here we go. Here's some comments on that. Sharon, don't distract our players with a blow-up beach boy. Don't want Darren Bent v Sunderland, do we? And all that kind of stuff. FPL tractor, don't duck around. Oh, I think he's censored you. You got in early with a naughty word there.
I didn't swear.
You said dick around, didn't you?
I was very good. I said duck around.
Did you? Well, I've just said it, so who cares? Steve, inflatables are okay unless the result is of the game is deflating. There we go. Thank you very much. That's the kind of stuff that we wanted. And Carnival Nation, hip hip, hooray for Jack. I hope you say that in the spirit is intended. Do you want to do a little bit of a recap, Seb, of all the international caps and availability for the weekend? I guess probably, we'll come back to some of it, but Cameron Burgess is probably the one people worried a bit more about the jet lag. Obviously, Kiefer Moore, it's more about are you tired after 120 minutes rather than is it a bit of a stretch to get back from, was it Cardiff on Tuesday night? So that's less of an issue. It's more about jet lag, isn't it, with Cameron Burgess?
Yeah, very much so. So we played obviously in Canberra on Tuesday in their semi-qualifier thing against Lebanon. They won 5-0, but he's not back yet, is he? McKenna's done the pre-match presser today and he's not due back till tomorrow. And I assume they're travelling tomorrow.
Thursday.
We're recording this on the Wednesday, obviously. So tomorrow he's due back. Thursday morning he's due back at Playford Road, but we'll be travelling at, midday to get up to Blackburn. So he's basically, if he does play, he's going in completely cold with very little kind of shape, patterns and tactics for the last couple of weeks. So factor in the jet lag as well. And I guess, yeah, he is a doubt. Kiefer Moore made his way back there today, by all accounts. I'm sure we were all wincing every time he kind of stayed down for more than 30 seconds. Hopefully it was just him being knackered. McKenna's referenced the fact he'll have kind of an emotional come down to get over, won't he, after the penalty shootout. He did his job. He scored his penalty just about.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was simultaneously an amazing penalty and a, oh my God, penalty. Like, he's not missed it, has he? Yeah, there's no saving it. But similarly, like, there was a moment where he's missed it.
But we hit the bar and it's going to bounce the wrong side of the line. Yeah, but he's done his job. So I guess 120 minutes putting in a shift up front on your own is a big ask. So although he's got no travel commitments, he will be physically and mentally knackered. And Jeremy Sarmiento was the one who played in America, played a couple of games, but his games were slightly earlier than the rest. So he'll be back and I'm assuming he'll be on the bench as normal up at Blackburn. So yeah, Kiefer Moore, a doubt given the amount of time he played, and Burgess a doubt given the travel time he's had to endure.
Yeah, well, we'll come back at the end and try and figure out the configuration there, what McKenna might do or think. And obviously these guys might feature, but I think we probably have them, as a little bit doubtful. Finally, before we start talking about Blackburn, ITFC women, off the back of a 5-0 win in front of 10,000 fans at Portman Road, head to Rugby Borough on Easter Sunday. They are chasing Rugby Borough on the table to try and get a good finish, but did beat them 4-1 in February. So if you are in that part of the world, do pop by 2 p.m. I don't know where they play in rugby, but the club will be tweeting that about that. And then back home on the 7th for MK Dons as well. So we wish ITFC women all the best. Hopefully finishing strong. Talking about finishing strong, Seb, Blackburn, we want to finish the season strong. And of all the places to go, on paper, this kind of looks like one where you'd have Tanner's favourites. But historically, we'll talk more about this. Like, there's a reason I've got, for those of you who are watching, this orange shirt. We'll come back to that. But it's a place we've not got a great record at, Seb. But as I said, on paper, you'd fancy us. But football isn't on paper, is it? Talk to me.
No, Richard. No, it's not. It's played on grass. Thanks for carrying that one up. Yeah, our record there is pretty poor. We'll discuss that in more depth. And on paper, it is a relatively, should be quite straightforward. You know, they're not having a very good season. In fact, it's a very poor season compared to last year. Last year, they finished seventh, narrowly missed out on the playoffs. They've kind of integrated this new playing, attractive possession-based playing style under John Dahl Thomason. And I guess they were looking to kind of progress more on that and have a chance at getting into the playoffs. But it's not worked out at all. It's fast becoming a disaster. They are on a very poor run of form. They've kind of tightened up a little bit with the appointment of John Eustace. They've got a clear plan, says the director of football, about, you know, becoming sustainable and integrating academy players into the first 11. I think they've got a Category 1 academy, so something they want to do to develop young talent. But they've got off-field issues. They've got transfer administrative mistakes. They've got a change of manager. They've got some injuries, and the season just hasn't got going for them at all. They're currently sat 17th. They're on 42 points. They are 3 points above the relegation zone as it stands going into the run-in. They've won 11 of the 39 games played, which is a win ratio of 28%. They've drawn 9, lost 18. It's a goal difference of minus 13. They've only kept 6 clean sheets, which is the second fewest in the division. We'll keep referring to them about how kind of open they are and how many goals they concede, because it's a real, real problem. 64 goals conceded is the second highest in the league after Rotherham. I've mentioned they're on a bad run of form. They haven't won in the last 8, but only 3 defeats. So Eustace has gone in there. He is winless as manager, but he has made them harder to beat. He's kind of ground out draws and stuff, which is, I guess, what you need to do when you take over a new side. You know, we know the kind of football Eustace wants to play from his time at Birmingham. He'll be slightly more pragmatic. He'll hit sides on the counter, but he's got to do it quickly because the season isn't going well, and their kind of awful run of form has coincided with the likes of Sheffield Wednesday, Millwall recently, QPR, Stoke every now and again throwing in a result. These kind of sides all around them are picking up results, whereas they're very much on a kind of downward trajectory.
And thank goodness for Sammy Smodic's goals. Hey, we'll talk more about his stats later on. And Matt confirms here and played twice for Republic of Ireland this week. Hopefully he's absolutely knackered and needs a rest himself.
He will want to play against us every day of the week because he absolutely hates us, doesn't he?
Gex Cole, you. But without his goals, Seb, and is he top scorer in the division?
Yeah, 21, yeah.
Where might they be? You'd think maybe in the bottom three, perhaps.
Definitely, very much so. Yeah, he scored 41% of their goals. So if he doesn't score, they kind of really struggle and they would be in real kind of problem. Their home form isn't amazing. They're 17th in the home form table. They've got 23 points from 19 games, only 1.2 points per game. They've conceded 30 goals at Ewood Park so far this season, which is the third highest after Preston and Plymouth. Who do you reckon is in fourth place on that list? So most goals conceded at home. Who do you reckon? Go on, take a wild stab in the dark.
Is it us by any chance?
It is us. 29 goals conceded. Yeah. So,
but we've just scored the opposition. It doesn't matter.
We're fine at the other end, and that's where they really kind of struggle. I've already mentioned no wins in the last 8. They've only won 1 in the last 17, which is a run that goes back to the middle of December. So the overall, I mean, they are drawing, as I said, but when you're in that kind of scrap, draws kind of get you very little, very fast. They need wins, and at the moment they're failing to deliver on that.
Borough last time out, I'm going to use this phrase. We need to kind of have a klaxon when I use it. On paper, a 0-0 draw away at Borough isn't too bad of a result. I guess at the moment, though, they need more than draws to drag themselves out of it. Give us the stats on that one against Borough.
Well, they were lucky there as well. If you watch the highlights, Borough miss an absolute sitter. So a 0-0 draw, which as you say is okay for a side that's kind of scrapping at the bottom of the league. But when other sides around you are picking up points, it doesn't do you much good at all. It was an XG of 0.76 compared to Borough's 1.5. As I said, Borough missed a real sitter from close in there. They had a header from, I think it was a corner or a cross. Keeper parried it away and there's a guy on the back post who should just knock the ball home. But somehow he contrives to miss. 46% possession, 12 shots, only 3 on target. Borough had 18 shots against them. The week before, they played Plymouth. They drew against Plymouth, and Plymouth had 21 shots against them. So it is very much a side that will give you chances.
And definitely against Plymouth, both teams seem to take ridiculously high lines against one another. So keep a lookout for that one. You want some pace in behind, and maybe, sadly, without Burns, we won't have that. Maybe it's a game for Sarmiento, who knows. Have we talked about the results in the last 5, Seb? The draws, we've mentioned Plymouth, Millwall and Norwich. The win against Stoke, though.
Yes, they've only lost one of the last 5. They're kind of doing okay. The Stoke win was just before Eustace took over, so it was 9 games ago. They had a caretaker manager for a game, and he wasn't in charge then. So of the last 5, they have drawn 4 of them. Only lost one. The draws were Borough, Plymouth, Millwall, and Norwich. The defeat was against Swansea. But in recent weeks, these drop points against the likes of Plymouth and Millwall at the time before Gary Rowett kind of got them going a little bit. This is what's really hurting. They're dropping points to the sides around them, which is why they can't get out of their kind of malaise.
Yeah. John Eustace comes in, you mentioned that, all very kind of weird and acrimonious, and everyone had kind of predicted that Thomason would leave before he did, which is always bad, isn't it? Things kind of circulating in the press and all that kind of stuff, unhappy camp and an unhappy manager after the January window. But on paper, hey, hat-trick ball. Eustace, a very sensible appointment, harshly sacked at Birmingham. We've talked about that situation, kind of Gary Rowett, Gianfranco Zola all over again with Rooney and Eustace, isn't it?
Yeah.
But possibly, we've kind of talked also previously about the likes of Swansea, Millwall, Plymouth even, of going from one philosophy to one that's quite different. And it does feel that Thomason was very purist, passing, attacking. We saw that at Portman Road earlier in the season. Eustace a bit more pragmatic, Seb, is that fair to say?
I think so, yeah. We know from his time at Birmingham that John Eustace will be more pragmatic and he'll set you up to hit you on the counter-attack. But they've got a squad that for the last 18 months has been playing, as you say, this kind of purist, attractive possession-based football under Thomason. So it's like the clubs you kind of reeled off there. It's Plymouth, it's Millwall. It's a side that is looking to change things fundamentally throughout a season without the benefit of a transfer window and the benefit of a pre-season. And that's a big, big ask and a kind of tough role for him. He hasn't won a game yet. He's managed 9, hasn't won one, drawn 6. So he has kind of stopped the rot a little bit. He's only lost 3 games since he took over, but he needs to get wins on the board pretty quickly because they're getting right sucked into it, aren't they?
They are. There's this weird record, Seb, between Ipswich and Blackburn when it comes to the away games. I've nodded to the 91-92 orange away kit for those listening on the podcast because I've got it behind me. That's the last time that Ipswich won at Blackburn. But similarly, in the league, that is, by the way, Blackburn haven't won at Portman Road, I think, since 1994 as well. It's a weird situation, Seb. It's a very much a home tie. Going to give us the overall record?
Yeah, so we've got slightly the better of the record. 21 wins for us, 18 draws and 17 Blackburn wins. As you say, it's a game where the home side tends to come out on top. So last September, or was it October? September time was the 4-3 victory at Portman Road. I thought they played quite well on that day. They were decent. We had the Harry Clark thunder bastard from the edge of the area, further goals from Broadhead, Hurst, and then a late winner from Luongo after Blackburn clawed it back to 1-1 and then to 3-3. And they played pretty well in that second half. It was a kind of Massimo took it on his chest, didn't he, and fired it into the top corner on a kind of a half volley that got us across the line. So I thought they did play well in that game. I didn't think they'd be in this kind of trouble, certainly moving forward. The last time we won in the league, like you said, was August 1991, a 2-1 victory in a season that would ultimately end in a promotion to the Premier League. Exactly. And we wore an orange kit.
The score.
So there are some omens there. The last time we won there in any kind of competition was a 1-0 ITFC victory, a goal scored by Paul Mason in an FA Cup game in 1996, and a certain young Mr. Richard Wright in goal, keeping the likes of Alan Shearer at bay. And This is going to be the hardest one we've ever done. I'm going to give you a line. Oh, he's shaking his head. He's confident. I'll give you a lineup quiz choice. Do you want the FA Cup game or do you want the 91-92 league season game?
What, I reckon I'd do better with the FA Cup one. It's I think I can do that one. I can do either, whichever you prefer. We need to mention, Rando's put in the chat about 99-2000, the playoff season. No, that was a tool and it was a Mogger equaliser, as Neil Johnson has confirmed there. So, yeah, it is a weird record. But, yeah, Richard Wright in goal. Yeah. Geraint Williams in the team. Yep. Ian Marshall in the team.
Yeah.
Man, I've gone too early and really gone complacent, haven't I? John Walk.
Yep.
Paul Mason.
Off the bench.
Off the bench.
Didn't start.
I'm trying to remember the footage because I posted it a million times on Twitter.
I'm assuming it's a 4-4-2 based on the formation. It's quite hard to work out.
Matthew,
Matthew was up front alongside Marshall.
Yep. Sedgley.
Yep.
Thompson's probably gone by then.
Yeah, no. You're doing better than I thought you would.
I'm trying to remember the back line.
So you've got John Walk, you've got Sedgley. You just said Thompson twice. No. Player left for Man City.
Oh, Tony Vaughan.
Tony Vaughan, yeah. Club legend.
Someone saying Jason Cundy.
No.
Simon Milton.
Scored at Wembley, last professional game. Absolute legend of the club.
What?
Mogger.
Mogger, was he in the team at that point?
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah, according to Stockwell. Pride of Anglia, where I've done my research from. So, yeah, Stockwell didn't feature, nope. So you need three more midfielders. Uhlenbeek, yes.
Yeah, well done, Neil Johnson.
So you've got two more to get.
Who am I missing?
Two midfielders. Yeah. One still involved at the club. There's a lot of hosting events.
Oh, someone said Simon Milton. Trevor Amos.
Yeah, Trevor's got it. Yep, Simon Milton. One more.
Ooh.
You've done way better than I thought you would, to be fair.
I said Geraint Williams, didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah, you said Williams. Klaus Thompson.
I said Klaus Thompson.
Did you?
Yeah. You misheard me say Thompson with a P-O-S-O-N for S-E-N, which is what I meant, Klaus Thompson. We got there.
Neil Gregory and Paul Mason off the bench.
Yeah, we got Neil Gregory from Neil Johnson's good at this one. That was a really good one. I enjoyed that. I listened. So I was going to get the green shirt as well, because I remember listening to that game on Radio Suffolk and it went to extra time, didn't it? And almost to penalties, and then up steps Paul Mason. And there's no easy games apart from Ipswich at home. Anything else that you want to draw our attention to in our history? I mean, that 2-1 game, as FPL Tracks has mentioned, ended in promotion to the Premier League, and lovely omen. And I'm doing my best to kind of harness that energy with the shirt. But generally, Seb, I'm struggling to think of good moments aside from that.
No, we lost there 2-0 apparently in the relegation season, January 2019. I've got no memory of this whatsoever. I cannot remember the game at all. I'm sure Lambert came out and said we played well, and that when it eventually turns, it'll be amazing, and he's played for big clubs, etc. But I assume it's just a run-of-the-mill defeat. I looked at the goals. They were second-half goals, but... yeah, no recollection whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, Neil mentions Neil Johnson's having a great, if prolific, nil-nil in the chat. The 94.
That kept us up, didn't it? Yeah.
And Mark Steen's winner for Chelsea against Sheffield United. That's a shout. The other one that was in my mind, not good, but only because we wore a one-off black away kit, was the 0-1-0-2 relegation season.
Yeah, Stewart scored from a corner. Yeah, but we lost 2-1, didn't we? Yeah.
So let's... records need to be broken, and of all the people that you'd expect to mastermind such a situation, Kieran McKenna would be that man. Let's talk about personnel for Blackburn, Seb. And we mentioned this January window, which seemingly was the precursor to Yondar Thomason walking away. Some players came in, but it was a little bit of another transfer window of good players going out for maybe decent fees, but being replaced with inexperienced players, maybe. And some of the players that have also come in have also now gone out injured as well. Do you want to catalogue kind of the key ones that we need to talk about and give us the kind of the brain fart moment?
So they made Arnar Sigurdsson's first half season loan deal permanent. He came in, spoiler alert, he got injured on international duty this week, so he won't feature, which is a blow because he'd scored 5 goals and got a couple of assists. That's a blow for them. John Fleck, very experienced central midfielder, came in from Sheffield United. I think he lasted about half an hour in his debut and is now out for the season. Carl McFadzean, centre-back. came in from Coventry, of course, you know, the ex-Cov players. Yassin Ayari came in from Brighton on loan, central midfielder slash number 10. I think he's a Swedish under 21 international, so a bit of pedigree there. John Buckley was at loan at Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday for the first half of the season. He's been recalled and was getting his way back into the team and featured in the last few games, but picked up an injury in training this week and is now touch and go. And then you get the brain fart moment. So this window will be remembered for the Duncan Maguire, the centre forward from Orlando, I think it was, who flew over here and they'd done everything apparently, but they forgot to press submit on the whatever software they used to register the deal with the EFL and the relevant regulatory bodies. So the poor guy sat in a hotel in Blackburn, of all places, for about 3 or 4 days while they appealed it. And they kind of thought, well, if we can't get the deal done permanently, we'll do a loan deal and make it permanent in the summer. And in the end, the EFL just went, no, you messed up. So no, he had to go back to Orlando, the poor guy. And as a result, they didn't have any kind of additions to their striking ranks. The departures that you've discussed, we had Dan on, didn't we, when we signed Lewis Travis on the podcast, the Blackburn fan, who very much kept using the phrase kind of, you know, we're trying to keep the lights on at Ewood Park. The ownership of the Venkis are under sanctions from the Indian government, so they can't fund the club by getting money out of India. So they did have a big sale in the window. Adam Wharton went to Crystal Palace for 20 million quid. He got called up to the under-21s as well this week. So it's a move that seems
to be
going...
Didn't he end up in the main squad and then because of injuries? I think he might have ended up in the main squad. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
After the under-21, sorry. I think three players did. Rico Henry as well, maybe. I think there was a trio of them that got called up to the main squad. Sorry, keep going.
Okay. So yeah, he got the big money move, but the money wasn't really kind of reinvested. I assume, given the funding issues they've got, those fees are going to provide working capital to keep the club operating while the ownership issues are ongoing. Niall Ennis joined for a free transfer last summer from our old friends Plymouth. They sold him for 500 grand to Stoke. So I guess if he's not going to fit in with the way that Eustace wants to play, it makes sense to make a bit of profit, but it's a bit of a strange one given they got him on a free and he's got half decent pedigree. James Hill, the centre-back, was recalled by Bournemouth. And obviously Lewis Travis came to us, their captain, 200 league appearances, very experienced, very vocal on the pitch. As we've seen, he's tenacious, he's a tackler, he's probably got a lot of attributes that you would want if you were in a relegation battle, but they very kindly sent him down to Suffolk.
But he will be sitting out on the weekend, won't he?
I was really hoping they'd made another administrative cock-up and had a box that says he can't play against us, but
they didn't for that one, unfortunately. I did not.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Style of play then, Seb. Let's figure that one out, because you mentioned it was a three at the back, but it appears. Is John Eustace being another one to jump aboard the 4-2-3-1 train?
Yeah, I got all excited. I was looking at the formations as he took over, and the first eight games were a three at the back or five with wing backs, etc. But against Middlesbrough, he flipped it to a 4-2-3-1 because that's what all the cool kids do. Slower build-up play than us. They're going to have some hangover here. There's a bit of legacy from the John Dahl-Thomason kind of reign. But slower build-up play than us with more passes per sequence. Not amazing for pressing. Seventh in the overall kind of pressing stats. I've already said we know how Eustace wants his teams to play. He'll be a bit more direct. He'll look to hit you with pace in wide positions on the counter attack. That's what he's going to try and instill into this squad. Not taking chances is a really big problem for them. They've created 81 big chances so far this season, which is the eighth highest in the league, but they've missed 54 of them, which is the fourth highest. So they're okay at creating chances. They've just got nobody to kind of get on the end of it and put the ball in the back of the net. And I did my usual thing where I kind of looked at the five games after the new manager came in versus the five games before. And overall, a lot of things are kind of going in the wrong direction. So possession has gone down from 57% to 47%. Shots taken has gone from 14 to 10. XG has gone from 1.74 per game to 0.84. And the things that have gone up are the long balls. So he's made them kind of more direct and more pragmatic. They've gone from 57 long balls per game to 72. But crucially, he has kind of stopped the leaking a little bit of goals conceded. They let in 21 goals in the nine games before he was appointed. And in the nine games since he was appointed, they've only let in eight. So he's kind of shut up shop a little bit and made them much harder to score against, which was crucial because if you've conceded 64 goals with eight games of the season left to go, you're going to be bang in trouble. So it was important he got that one done pretty quickly.
Yeah, but as we said, draws maybe not enough for them at this moment in time. So yeah, it's and we as we've said, really in terms of the chances created and scored, it's Sami Smodic's high XG, but also we know that he'll ping them from all over the place, edge of the box, top scorer with 21. Your stat here, 41% of their goals this season. That's just nuts. And we know that whilst he's their top scorer, it's kind of Chaplin-esque kind of from last season, isn't it, in terms of that dominance. But we at least had Ladapo, didn't we? And then latterly, yeah, George Hurst contributing, and that's what they don't have. And then Arne Sigurdsson, who was the second top scorer, we said he's missing because got injured away with Iceland in international break. He's 16 goals back from Smodic and the second top scorer. That's crazy. You have no one around Smodic who's kind of, Smodic has an off day, or if teams just want to double mark Smodic out of the game, who else is going to score the goals? And I guess that's the big question. Do you want to, Sam Gallagher, I guess Seb is a name that's going to be
familiar. He's not a goal scorer though. He's not prolific. He's a name we'll all know because obviously we linked with him all window. It looked like they were prepared to do a deal and it went on and on, and eventually they kind of changed their mind. But he's only got three goals and 17 appearances so far this season. He's more of the George Hurst, the unselfish striker role, isn't he? You know, he's big and he's strong and he'll work incredibly hard. But his goal is to kind of create the space for the likes of Smodic to get involved in and around him. So he's not going to get you 15, 20 goals like you're going to need. They've got Andrew Moran, who's got the top.
Wait. If I don't say this, someone on the podcast will be thinking it. You did say that in and around him, didn't you?
Yeah.
What does in him mean? Keep going.
You're like a child. You're so childish. You're better than that. Come on.
I'm really not.
Wow. Andrew Moran is their top assist maker. He's got six assists on loan from Brighton. He can play anywhere in the three behind the 10. So in a 4-2-3-1, he can play anywhere in the three. Sorry, behind the striker, not behind the 10. He's been on the bench recently, but he did get a goal and an assist with the Ireland under-21s this week. So he's one that could potentially come back in. The right back / right wing back, Callum Britton's one to watch. One goal and four assists so far this season. 71 touches per game, which is Morsy levels of touches. So they will look to get him involved and have him kind of feature. Sondre Tronstad is a central midfielder who'll be busy and bustling around. He's got 5.4 ball recoveries per game, whatever that means. He was their top for that particular metric. Don't really know what it means. Don't really care. John Buckley, we've already discussed, is an injury doubt. He's touch and go after a training Garand injury. That would be decent because he'd settled in quite well, having come back from the first half of the season at Sheffield Wednesday. So if he's out, expect the Yassin Ayari to come back into the middle. Tyrese Dolan can play anywhere behind the three. They've got these kind of interchangeable players, a bit like us with Sarmiento and Harness. You've kind of got players who can cover two or three positions. Dolan's got four goals and two assists so far this season. And Ainsley Pears is back in goal for only three clean sheets in 18 starts so far this season. He's had concussion recently, a bit of illness, but he's now back in the sticks for the last couple of games, so he'll be the keeper.
Yep. We talked about Scott Wharton, didn't we? Older brother Adam, But yeah, in terms of injuries, so I mean, Rankin Costello, a bit of a miss, isn't he? Hayden Carter.
They're both back in training. They played okay. Minutes this week for the under-21s. So they might well feature off the bench, maybe. Striker Harry Leonard, I think he came on at Portman Road, youngish guy. He's out for the season. Mm. We've already mentioned John Fleck is out for the season as well. So yeah, they've got some injuries here and there.
Any final statistical things before you get to your pearl of wisdom? Let me know, because I've got music.
All right, okay, no pressure. What if I hadn't come up with one? Because I was too scarred after the Cardiff game, so I couldn't do one for...
I wouldn't have played any music, but...
Is this going to be like the Partridge thing? Is it that level of cheesiness?
Right, go on, finish the bit. Come on, you can do it.
They are average for possession, 55th per 55% position is 8th in the league, so it's not amazing. Second highest for offsides in attack, so keep your eye on that. I'm surprised that, because Sam Gallagher isn't overly mobile, but they are they're pretty good. They're pretty poor at staying onside. Defensively, 13 shots conceded per game is the fourth highest. That has tightened up. We've already discussed Plymouth having 21 and Borough having 18, so they are kind of working on that. Very good at tackling. 18 tackles per game is the highest in the division, and they are vulnerable from set pieces. 7 goals conceded is the joint third highest from set pieces.
And they seem to keep conceding them against Borough as well, and Borough really should have done better. I'm recycling an old ident, Seb, for you. It's not really fact of the week, it's kind of insight of the week, but I spent the time making the video, so here it is. Good idea is a good idea forever. Go.
Don't panic if Blackburn start the game well, because they finish really, really poorly. 10 goals scored in the opening 10 minutes of matches this season is second to only Leeds, but 13 goals conceded after the 81st minute is the second highest in the league. So don't panic, Town fans. If it's an early goal, 1-0 down, don't think it's doom and gloom. They are crap towards the end of the game, and that's what will be important.
Good stuff, Seb. Thank you very much.
What is that picture? Where's that picture from? Is that uni days, I'm guessing?
No, that's when you were at Nottingham Forest and you hold a dinosaur.
Oh, with the dinosaur. Brilliant. Yeah. It didn't happen.
Yeah, it did. Neil fancies us a lot on Friday. We'll talk about us in a bit. Thank you, FPL Tractor. Strong jingle there, Rich. Yeah, definitely not stolen from somewhere else, Nick. Before we talk about us, let's a bit of admin for the podcast. There's a great number of you here, probably an illustration of when there's no football, there's nothing else to do. But we love that you're here with us. Thank you for all the people on Facebook as well. 8 likes over on Facebook. Thank you to Adam, Scott, Gord, Elliot, AD, Pierre, Andy and Stephen. Please do give us a thumbs up on YouTube as well. It makes a great deal of difference for us. Nudges stuff out there to other people and gets them involved in the chat, which is fantastic. Do subscribe as well. Big week of content coming up, and then East Anglian Derby. And then the games just keep coming thick and fast. We will be covering everything as much as we can. So please subscribe. We've got plenty more live streams coming your way. Mentioned Friday, Ben is doing a live stream on his channel. It'll also go down our channel as well. And I think I might be joining Ben along with that one, though I did join for Cardiff. So I might have to wear the orange shirt to kind of negate that. Telegram is open as well. Match day chat will be open from tomorrow on Thursday for the game as well. Joe Fares from the team spoke to our mate Adam at Sky Sports, gave his insight a bit about Ipswich Town, a really great article about how we're doing this season and gearing up for another potential promotion. Flagship show back, usual time, Sunday, 8 p.m. Ben, Dave, Craig talking about Blackburn and previewing Southampton. And then next week, probably the reaction to Southampton on the Tuesday. And then we are into East Anglian Derby territory. And thank goodness, Seb, that we don't have to talk about that one in any great detail. The lineup for the pre-match show will be Ben and I think it might be Craig or Dave. We'll figure that one out. So do subscribe. Do keep an eye on what's going on over here. And as always, head to the Greyhound. I assume everything is good and open on Monday for pre-match, so go give them a visit as well. Let's talk about us. We've mentioned some of the doubts, Seb, in respect of international duties, particularly Cam Burgess, Kiefer Moore, question mark. And then there's Wes Burns' injury to sort out as well and figure that one. give us your take on all of these kind of key decisions.
So I think Burgess won't play, but I think Kiefer Moore will. So I would have Edmondson back in for Moore. For Burgess. I'd like Burgess to be there because Gallagher's big and strong, and you kind of want Burgess to dominate against him. Maybe he will, but if I was a betting man, I would suggest Tuan Zabi continues at right back. Wolfenden, Edmondson, and Davis is the back. We know that Travis can't play, so Moore's in longer in the middle, obviously. And then I guess you've got the Wes Burns absence conundrum, haven't you? Do you shift Amari Hutchinson to the side and bring Chaplin back into the 10? There was no mention of Chaplin in the pre-match presser. McKenna came out and listed the players that weren't available, and Chaplin wasn't mentioned, so I assume he's back. If he is, I guess that's what will happen. But given the fact they do play a high line, I'd be tempted to play Caden Jackson. If you want that right-hand wing role for us, as we know, is about staying high, staying wide, and getting in behind with really, you know, bursts of pace. That's what Jackson's game is. So I'd have no issue. But then how are you going to fit both Chaplin and Hutchinson in? You can't do it. I guess you could rest Broadhead and put Hutchinson on the left and Chaplin in the 10. That's maybe a way around it, but slightly hard on Broadhead, who's played well in recent weeks. So yeah, difficult one. What would you do? Do you think Jackson will play, or do you think it will be Hutchinson and Chaplin back in the 10?
So we don't really know too much about Chaplin. We are assuming that he's fully fit, but we don't know the situation there.
If he's not, it's very straightforward, isn't it? It's Hutchinson 10,
Jackson right.
Right, yeah.
Exactly right. And as Neil says, Broadhead hardly played for Wales. So that would be, I just wonder whether you keep Chaplin for Monday and more for Monday as well. I think someone else said that earlier in the chat. Two, Clark is obviously another pacey outlet as well, but I just think probably Tuan Zabi has just played himself into that position. Had a really good game at Plymouth, really good game against Sheffield Wednesday, didn't he? So I think I'd go with that. And are you playing Ali Al-Hamadi up front, Seb?
I think Kiefer Moore will play personally. Yeah. I think he's that crucial to what we do and how we play. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. 60 minutes. Then Al-Hamadi comes on, and then probably the same on Monday as well. Kiefer Moore starts, gets to 60 minutes, then he's off. And again, Al-Hamadi obviously comes on maybe slightly earlier than he has done in recent weeks. I just think, I know Moore will be knackered after Tuesday night, but he's not had far to travel. And yeah, didn't McKenna in the pre-match presser say he always wants to make himself available? He always wants to play. So if he's good to go and you can get an hour out of him, I think I'd start him just to try and batter those defenders down a little bit, and then you can bring on, you know, Al-Hamadi with his pace and his directness at 60 minutes. That's what I'd look to do.
Yeah, Andrew's suggesting maybe the opposite. Start Al-Hamadi, get him running around and upset the back line, and then bring on Kiefer Moore for a bit of a aerial bombardment, perhaps, is definitely a shout as well. Give us your thoughts in the chat on that. We're going to go to predictions next, but I think, well, Neil's going, go with your best 11. I guess the trouble is, Seb, we don't know who we've got who's starting.
Yeah, there's too much doubt over the best 11, isn't there? So what do you think Burgess will play? Do you think it's too much for him to come back, land Thursday morning, get on the bus or fly up to Blackburn, and then have to, maybe he'll fly straight to Blackburn. We don't know. I just think having been away for the whole 2 weeks, he'll be a bit off it, surely, won't he?
I think, he's played, so he'll be match fit, won't he? And in terms of the tactics and style of play, we're still
prep for the game, and
the system is the same system, isn't it? It's just the Blackburn, what you need to watch out for. Him against Gallagher is an interesting matchup, isn't it? Mm. I just think Burgess is such a kind of a low key, really important player for us that you'd want to get him in there. But as we talked about a few weeks ago, I don't know about other people. I've done the trip from Australia back to the UK and went to work the next day. I'm not a footballer, but I was completely useless.
You do yourself down.
No, if football was played on paper, I'd be really good. But I think that the jet lag is real. Obviously, professional sportsmen should be able to mitigate that through, I don't know, doing stuff on the plane, I guess, and recovery. But it is really challenging. It's a long way to go. Yeah. So I just think it's a risk, and you'd rather make sure he's absolutely 100% for Southampton, I suggest. So probably it ends up being Edmondson, doesn't it? And for that reason, I think you'd then want Tuan Zabi just to lock things down a little bit more. That would be my feeling, Seb.
Okay, yeah, very similar then. So I guess we'll have to, obviously wait and see. And whichever way, I guess if the international players don't play, expect them all then to come back into the starting 11 for Monday.
Yeah, and Rando get 60 minutes out of Kiefer-Bohr.
That's what I do. Yeah, that's what I would do, because Moore is so crucial to how we play. It's no coincidence the likes of Jackson, Broadhead, Chaplin have all improved with Kiefer-Bohr back in the side and creating space for them in and around him.
In and around him. Well, let's go to the predictions next. Get your thoughts, get your thinking caps on for that one. And we do need to shout out YouTube, who tweeted us earlier. YouTube tweet us every now and then, Seb.
I saw that, yeah. The Namari Hutchinson, wasn't it?
They're big fans of Namari Hutchinson, and they were singling him out for praise and for the one to watch. So if Namari Hutchinson wins us the game on Friday, thank our friends at YouTube. I don't know where to go with that apart from let's go do some predictions. We had Jacob lurking in the chat. I hope he's still there, because he can bask, Seb, in the victory of 2 weeks ago. Only 8 games was it to predict? Maybe 10. I'm trying to remember the number of fixtures. There was a couple missing, wasn't there? But yeah, Jacob got 10 points and won the week. But overall, yours truly in charge over the 200-point mark. And we now know what Seb's t-shirt is going to look like as well, if and when I secure that or Seb calls time on the feature, which we can bring back Room 101. You seem to enjoy that feature, so fry it over in the think wok, Seb. Let's have a look at the run of games, because it's one of these ones where Sky have got a million games to cover on Friday. The early game, Bristol City Leicester, then I think there's us, and then the evening ends Watford v Leeds. Let's start at the top, Bristol City versus Leicester. You and I expecting Bristol City to do us no favours. Jacob, a little bit more optimistic. What's your stance on Leicester? A lot of off-field stuff, which we talked about on the flagship show. It's difficult to know whether it's going to G them up and kind of that kind of siege mentality, us against the world kind of thing, or whether their recent form, Seb, is going to continue, because we know Bristol City like playing against the top six, don't they?
Yeah, I don't think Leicester, we saw the podcast, me and Ben did the pre-match show back in January. We were declaring them champions elect and they were going to be one of the best ever sides at this level. I don't think they'll win the league now. I think Leeds are going to march on together annoyingly and win the division. And I think Leicester now have to turn this kind of dodgy run of form around very quickly. They put in a half-decent performance against Chelsea in the cup, but ended up going out, didn't they? They've got this kind of issues with all the off-field stuff, but, you know, some key players are due back, and Didi, I think, is due back maybe this weekend, or maybe he's back already, and that's a big kind of return for them. And I don't think Bristol will do us any favours. I think Leicester will go down there, get a result, and I guess they'll be hoping that'll kick them back into life for the remaining 7 games of the season.
Indeed. Bristol City, a little bit inconsistent, though, and maybe just want to finish the season strong. I think Ben and Sam on the Championship check-in were saying that maybe Manning wants to put some doubts to rest, and maybe a victory over Leicester, or at least a point. I suppose Jacob's prediction might be good.
That'd be
West Brom, you're expecting. Oh, you're thinking Millwall might a rejuvenated Millwall under Neil Harris might get a point there, Seb.
Yeah, kind of on an upward trajectory since he went back in there. And West Brom aren't that amazing away from home. They're not bad away from home, but they're not amazing like they are at the Hawthorn. So, yeah, I've just got that down as a draw for Millwall to continue their kind of their inching away from the relegation zone.
Any other exciting things there in between?
It's not a classic week apart from the televised games, really, is it? We've all gone for a clean sweep of Norwich victories, which is really, really irritating. There's a big game between QPR and Birmingham. Me and you have gone for a point on the board. Is it Jacob again from Telegram?
Yep.
Jacob's gone for a Birmingham win there. Gary Rowett getting off to a good start. And other than that, yeah, none of us are expecting a favour off Middlesbrough. Annoyingly, we think Southampton, you and me, have gone for 2-1. Jacob's gone for a 2-0 to Saints to get them back onto a little bit of form. And again, equally, we're not expecting much favours off Watford in the evening game. We're all expecting Leeds victories.
Yeah. I watched the Leeds-Millwall game, and Leeds just machine at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think Leeds will win the league now.
I do. Yeah, I think they will. Hopefully they'll put Dan James on penalties. Of course.
There's a few people mentioning that like Leeds and Leicester, I think both have had players out for international breaks and all that kind of stuff as well.
Didn't Ruta have surgery right at the start of the international window that I think they suggested he'd be back pretty quickly, but you know, he's one of their top players. So, but they'll just play Patrick Bamford instead, won't they? So, yeah. Brilliant.
So you've seen my prediction on the screen. If you, those of you eagled eye,
yet again, you've gone against Ipswich. You 2 weeks ago, oh, it'd be a tough game against Sheffield Wednesday, 6-0, tick. But don't worry, you keep getting the points, even though you vote against your own side.
I just think it's tough. The history is not in our favour. I think Blackburn don't want to lose games at the moment. They're draw specialists. We've got a lot of question marks over personnel, and for that reason, I just have doubts. But I then think, we'll get a four. It's a 4-point weekend for us, Seb. There you go. I'm putting that out.
To be fair, I also think a 4-point weekend, but I've gone the other way around. So I guess if we're on 4 points by Monday night, we'll both have been right and both have been wrong at the same time. I've gone for a victory. We did our Blue Monday predictions. When was it? Start of March? Is it? We did that, and I predicted a win in this fixture, so I couldn't go against us. I've gone for a 2-1. I think it'll be close. I think they'll score. I think we'll score. But I think we'll be okay on the other end of it. So yeah, an important victory going into a show. Game.
Yeah. And Smodic will celebrate in front of us if he scores as well. So just
if you've got a massive inflatable penis, feel free to don't do that. That's bad advice from me.
Yeah.
Those are my views, not the view of the Blue Monday podcast.
Yeah, and I don't think it's your view either, is it? But respect is, and that's what we want. Let's go and see what the chat has to say as well. Some really interesting stuff coming through on the chat. What have we got? FPL Tractor, on paper, this has been a great podcast. Just on paper.
Does that mean
FPL?
It's been crap?
In reality, it's been crap. Yeah. Well, yeah. Stay tuned, folks, because there's a massive payoff coming for the end of the podcast. Carnivore Nation going 6-1. There you go. That's confidence for you. Colin going for a 3-1. I love how he says Ipswich Town FC as well. Charlie repeating his prediction from earlier, 2-1 Ipswich. Irvin's going for a 4-1. Richard's got he's a bit my way of thinking. A weird away game with key players active over the break. Hate to say it. He's going 3-3. Paul going for an Amari hat trick. He's aboard the YouTube train there on Amari Clutchinson. Blackburn 1, Town 3 says Nick. FPL has given us the scorers in brackets. Hutchinson and Jackson in a 2-0 away win. Trevor's going for a 2-1. Michael with his 4-2. Have we seen the 4-2 in a while, Seb? I'm trying to remember. It's been a while since we've seen Michael's 4-2. Go a goal or two down early, then power. And that'll be great for Sky, won't it? They'll bloody love that. Eric, this is every week is getting worse and worse. Blackburn 6, Ipswich 0. Come on, Eric. You don't mean that, do you? Jack's going for a 2-0. Universe doesn't care. Continues to be the best username on YouTube. 1-3. Talking of usernames on YouTube, by the way, Natasha Thomas was indeed in the chat on Sunday on the flagship show, by the way. Wasn't 100% sure, but she did join in. So she messaged afterwards and said, yes, that was me. So there you go. Every now and then, footballers might check in. That's great. Rob, give us more working as well. 2-1, Smodic, Amari and Broadhead. And 3 points, please. That's generally how that works when you get the 2-1 there, Rob. That's what we'll all take that, won't we? Tim, an edgy. He said dodgy. Edgy 2-1. Last time I offered that was V Wednesday. There you go. Kiel's going for a 3-1 to Town. What's this, David Bradley? 2.5 Ipswich Town. Do you understand that, Seb? Or am I missing something? Something going over my head? FBL, and everyone's starting with a 2.5 Ipswich Town win. Yeah. Believe is what we're saying. Neil, 5-1. Andrew, 3-1. A lot of confidence there. And Streaky, there you go. A little bit of Yusuf in the bin, Rich. And then Lee agrees with me. So mixed bag there. But generally, I think folk are confident. Why wouldn't you be as well? Steve Girling, 0-0. There you go. Lovely. good. We'll be back. Well, you and I won't be back to see how this feature culminates next week, because we won't be here. We'll be overseas.
I bet I win.
And then
sod's law,
someone's going to be standing in for you. But yeah, we'll see how everyone gets on. Well, we won't, as I said, we don't care, do we? My crap prediction, no one cares. Well, the guys will be back next week to talk all about it. We've got an extra 5 minutes. We've had some really good, we have some questions, 7 comments. So before we say goodbye, let's deal with those, because all of us want something to fill our Wednesdays, frankly. And if you're traveling up to Blackburn as well, do let us know if you're doing that. But I'm sure you'd appreciate an extra 5 minutes of stuff to kill the journey. So I'm going to put some questions from the chat to you, Seb. Carnivore Nation, QQQ. Do you think there is more pressure on Leicester and Leeds than on us in the run-in?
100%. There's no pressure on us at all, is there? We shouldn't be here. We're, you know, even with the new investment that's coming in, we are the underdogs financially. They've got much better squads. Their fan base will be incredible. I know ours has risen in terms of expectation levels, but, you know, if either of those sides don't go up, the manager's getting fired for one. Half the squad's probably going to leave for two. So, yeah, huge pressure on those guys. No pressure at all on us. As McKenna said in pre-match today, we take it one game at a time and we see where we go. And the key thing is, like Joe said in the article with Adam from Sky Sports, this squad and this manager know how to do this. You know, they are used to competing in a ridiculously high points tally to get across the line. And that's not something that Leicester and Leeds squads or managers, I guess Farke's won the league a couple of times, but never at kind of a ridiculously high level of points, I would suggest. So yeah, no pressure on us whatsoever, but we have got the crucial bit of experience.
We do. And the Coventry Hull run or whatever it is, you know,
Peterborough Barnsley vibes, isn't it? That yeah. It moved the game. The Coventry game is my 40th birthday. So I've just got this. Yeah, I can see it happening now and it's going to be amazing. I need a George Hurst moment again, like at Barnsley. Kiefer Moore going through, making it 2-0 and us all going absolutely crazy. It would be amazing.
Nick asks, I assume KM is Kiefer Moore, not Kieran McKenna. Kieran McKenna, vital to our chances on Friday.
How important Kieran is very important.
Kiefer Moore to our chances on Friday. We have been a different side since he came in and filled the Hurst gap.
Totally agree, because you get so much more out of the players behind you. That's why if he's good to go, I'd get him in for the 60 minutes. And then Al Hamadi can have a run at the kind of tired and bruised legs after Moore's put a real shift in. But as we saw, that kind of, was it six matches over the New Year period, when Jackson, who did a good job up front, but he's not Moore, he's not Hurst, he hasn't got those physical attributes and he can't bring others into play like those guys can. And it's no, what have we averaged? 2 goals a game since Kiefer Moore came. It was probably high now for the Wednesday game. Over 2 goals per game since Kiefer Moore came back in. So yeah, absolutely crucial.
I would love it to see George Hurst waltz into the team randomly mid to late April. That would be great. And as we've said, he's on the grass. Trevor, how many points for the next 3 games? 9 would be fantastic, but what would you take now?
If you offered me 5, I'd probably say thanks very much. Beat Blackburn, draw with Southampton, draw against Norwich. I think that's what I went for in my predictions. So I'm anticipating 5. We know we're going to need probably more than that. You're probably going to need to win 2 of them, in which case I think going to Norwich and winning is going to be a real tough gig given the run of form they're on. And I'm normally the optimistic one of the pre-match show. So yeah, if you offered me 7, I'd give anything for 7. 5, I'd be pretty happy with, given the fact 2 are away and the one at home is a tough game as well. So yeah, happy with 5, would love 7. No, if we get 9, it's it's next level craziness.
There you go. Paul, sorry I'm late. Don't worry, Paul. And you posted this ages ago as well, so not as late as it appears. Did I miss much? Yeah, on paper, lots. I'm taking my daughter to her first ever town match on Sunday, popping all of 3 miles down the road to see the ladies at Rugby Borough. Enjoy that. I hope your daughter enjoys it even more. Lots of great stories of young kids from last Saturday embracing football and being really excited about the town after the Chatham game. So hopefully that does the trick, Paul, on Sunday for her. Rob, Monday fixtures, Town v Saints, Leicester v Norwich and Leeds v Hull. Is that a deciding day in the promotion race, guys?
We need Norwich to do us a favour. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Hull, have they drawn the last few games? They're not in an amazing run of form. I think Leeds at Elland Road is pretty much a foregone conclusion. I think it's like Plymouth last year. I only really expect one outcome from that. So I think Leeds will go and win the league. Now, I think the final day of the season is going to be crucial. The fact that it's Southampton against Leeds, I think for some reason, might well have a huge bearing on what happens.
Rando, 1-2-3, in your heart, I think he then qualified it, or your head, what does the top 4 look like after round 46? Worth a shout out for the flagship show, by the way. We will recap the team's March predictions, and we'll do the same for April. But very quickly, Seb, what's your...
Leeds to win it. We're second. Leicester a point behind us in third, and Southampton finish fourth.
Right, I'm not going to say any more. Apart from Seb, are you ready for this? You ready? You know what? You know what's coming. Guess what's coming?
I don't know. Right.
That's a picture of Seb with an...
Right, I'm holding a dinosaur. Where are all the fans? Where is everybody?
I think we got that. We were right at the back and got there a little bit early. But there you go.
That legitimately, that picture you've got on that stupid partridge.
Is that one?
Actually, that photograph. I thought you were being sarcastic. I didn't realize. Right. Okay.
I didn't know. I thought it was from somewhere else. But I told you people that was going to pay off. That might be my proudest moment in the podcast.
I've got no recollection of this at all. I've got no recollection of this whatsoever, but clearly it must have happened. There's photographic proof. So you also took a dinosaur, blew up. Did I throw it? I'm guessing.
Yeah, you probably did. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'll be honest. I'm disappointed with myself for even that.
Thank you, everyone, for sticking with us, and I hope that payoff was worth it. Just checking in the chat. Shout out for Harness. We haven't talked about Harness. Universe doesn't care. Is it a Harness game rather than a Broadhead game?
Well, they're quickly on the right. So Callum Britton, their right wing back slash right back, is a threat. So, yeah, Harness would add energy, but I just think this time of the season, just going out score teams, is what we've done all season, and it's how we've got to this position. So always go with the goal scorers, I would say.
FPL, Photoshop is a thing. I couldn't have possibly done that whilst I was hosting a podcast, FPL, as much as...
But you did have time to find it whilst hosting a podcast.
Yes, just because it exists already. It was just in my Photos app. It's nice and easy. Thank you, everyone, for joining. I hope you enjoy that. Thank you, Seb, for all of your hard work and your revision on inflatables, which has happened live here on the Blue Monday podcast. Do support the Greyhound. Do check out our Telegram group. Do come and join us. Do NordVPN, still going strong. Link in the description if you want. Browse safely and all that kind of fun stuff. Flagship, as we said, Sunday. Ben, Dave, Craig, join them then. Please like, please subscribe, please give us a 5-star rating on your podcast app on Apple. You just need to go swipe 5 stars, boom, job done. And Seb, as it's now your turn, I will hand over to you to say goodbye.
Oh yeah, it's me, I forgot. Yeah, thanks for getting involved, everybody. Everyone, do what you did last time for the 6-0 victory. Wear the same clothes, have the same meal, have the same coffee, talk to the same people, keep the routines the same to get us over the line. If you see us at Blackburn, I think Joe's there, I'm there, Craig's there, come and say hello to us. And yeah, here we go. We've got these three big games in the space of, what is it, 8 days or so. We know what's at the end of it with the Norwich game. We're off for a couple of weeks now, so still please obviously tune in with the rest of the guys. Hopefully we'll come back to, well, as we just said, 9 points would be incredible, probably take 5-7 would be decent. But yeah, here we go, it gets serious now, and as always, come on you Blues.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.